Hey, what's up, y'all? Thank you for listening to the Reform Scratches podcast. This episode, I interviewed Brian Winchester, aka Brel. He's a CHH artist and pastor. And this is actually part one. Definitely check this out. Awesome time fellowshipping with the brother, interviewing him. And hope y'all enjoy this. Part one of episode number 24, season number two, Reform Scratches podcast.
You're now tuned in to Reform Scratches podcast with DJ Mike 5, a podcast about Christian creatives creating for the glory of God. Creating, serving, glorifying.
What's up, y'all? Thank you for listening to Reform Scratches podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in on Transformation Radio 12.2. Shout out to DJ Conversion or Redeem Project Radio or your favorite podcast streaming platform. Thank y'all for tuning in. Hope you all being safe out there. Also, check out the new track by the brothers Mario Esco and Gil Vargas called Create for the Creator, out now on all streaming platforms. This track is really, really good. Check out Mario Esco from the Mario Esco Live Show with brother Gil Vargas. Those brothers are putting a lot of stuff out, a lot of content out, a lot of creative work. So give them support. Shout out to them. Also, shout out to Jared Payne at Pilgrim's Coffer and for the Remnant on Twitter for the support and encouragement of the podcast. I appreciate you guys just messaging me or, you know, hitting me up on Twitter. It's greatly encouraged. I think anybody that's doing any type of creative work or anything to do with the Lord, courage is much well needed. And I really appreciate that, guys. Appreciate it for the shout outs as well. And as always, guys, if you never heard of Redeem Project Radio, check out redeemprojectradio.com. It is a platform that we push CHH, biblical sound content, scripture readings, live events. Also check out the reformscratches.com website, a little information of what I do, the work that I do and whatnot, a little background information. Shout out to all the listeners, as always, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public. Thank you guys for the support. And if y'all looking for a CHH lyrical theology playlist on Spotify, check out the Reform Scratches Spotify playlist. That's a tongue twister. Check it out. If you guys working on the car, working out, hanging out with family, this is a playlist you could bump with your family in the car, going on long road trips, or just going to the store. So check that out. Y'all have any questions about the podcast, any prayer requests or guest suggestions, contact me at djmike5@gmail.com. That's djmikefive@gmail.com. And guys, this episode number 24, season two of the Reform Scratches podcast, this brother right here needs no introduction. You guys will be familiar when I say his name of his creative work. This brother is also a pastor. He faithfully preaches the word of God to his congregation. And this brother is no other than Brian Winchester, a.k.a. Brel, pastor and CHH artist. How's it going, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm doing well.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Yeah, man. Like I said before, brother, before the podcast, I've been listening to you for a while, even before coming to the Reformed faith. I love your style of hip hop, man. I gravitate to a lot of the boom bap, other styles as well within hip hop, but I definitely gravitate to a lot of the boom bap and whatnot. And I love your work, man. I think that's something that's encouraging. You always honor God and give God all the glory and all your raps. And I appreciate that, brother.
Man, praise God. Yeah. Boom bap was kind of the, not like I made necessarily a conscious decision to become boom bap. It's really just the hip hop that I came up with, you know? So that's the language that I learned to speak and create in early on.
That's awesome, brother. Talk a little bit about yourself for those that might not know your creative work, a little about your testimony and what inspired you to create.
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Portland, Oregon, so in the West Coast, was raised in a non-Christian home, maybe for a little bit of generational context. I was born in 1981, so 80s baby. Was it a non-Christian home, but my parents were divorced, so kind of went back and forth between my mom's house, my dad's house. And really had no religious background or upbringing at all. I think the first time I was ever in a church building was probably for a funeral in middle school. But kind of just, I guess, my personality, whatever I was into, I would put my whole self into it. So that started with sports. early on. But once I discovered hip hop, it resonated with me on a deeper level, kind of understanding things about people that you wouldn't know just from looking at them. So communicating and expressing emotions and experiences. So somebody living in Portland, Oregon, some of my early exposure was to some of maybe West Coast gangster rap, things like that. And though I might have enjoyed some of the sounds, it didn't really resonate with me in terms of reflect things that I related to, because I had not been in those same shoes. But as I discovered, it started with discovering a group, a tribe called Quest, which were really just college age guys, you know, in their early records, talking about life in their neighborhood and growing up. I could relate with where they were coming from, even though their experiences were different than mine. It started bringing me in and even gave me a new appreciation for even music that I couldn't relate with, that I understood, oh, they're communicating what they've seen, what they've felt, what they've experienced. And that is, I think, what kind of brought me into hip hop. So I was just growing this collection of albums, and I could listen to somebody from Atlanta, somebody from New York, somebody from Los Angeles, but also somebody from Canada, somebody from, you know, other places in the world. And as long as they were English speaking artists, I was getting like little pictures and portraits of what life was like in different places and from different perspectives. And as somebody who hadn't traveled much at that point in my life, there was something that just captivated me about that. And so, yeah, I just naturally not only was taking it in, but just started pouring out as well, where it was like, when I wasn't listening to music, I was trying to make it essentially as a teenager.
The thing I like about Love Hip Hop, even growing up as well, it's relatable, even though it's a different, you know, language. And there's a specific track, I think, brother, that you have on your IV album, that it's like a little snippet in one of the tracks and one of the first tracks on there. And it's brothers from different countries, I think Korea, Spain, Germany, giving their input about the Lord and one. And I love that, man. Brother, so when you got into hip hop, did you right away go towards writing rap songs, or did that kind of just evolve over time, or like, I think I could kind of do this for like a career or like a hobby? How did that transpire?
Yeah, I mean, I would have been probably 13, and I was a really shy kid. But not only that, I grew up in a context where there weren't a lot of people that I knew who were into the kind of hip hop that I was into. And if anything, kind of in my immaturity, I wanted to kind of keep what I liked secret. You know, I liked the idea of kind of knowing stuff, you know, the kind of fans that no artist really wants is the kind of fan that's like, no, I want to keep this for myself, you know, instead of passing it on. But that, it's just like, I think my identity was so wrapped in it, but it also was so meaningful to me that I was actually really private about it. So when I first started writing, you know, raps and stuff, I was not in a hurry to share them with other people, nor did I know other people who would even be interested. And, you know, my first raps, they were all just ridiculous. They were super dumb. It was just me trying to kind of mimic and find a voice. So I was kind of mimicking things that I heard other people say, but I didn't really have a voice yet, right? But then from there, I think for Christmas I got a karaoke machine that had a dual tape deck. And so nice. I would buy, you know, cassettes that would have an instrumental on the B side, and then I would record my own vocals onto another blank tape, you know, and put it over the instrumental. And that's when I started getting a sense of wanting to spend more time at it, because I could actually create something, you know, so I could find an instrumental, write lyrics to it. But really all that, the major change really came kind of with a major life change. And so it was after my freshman year of high school. At that point, I was in so deep. I'm wearing, you know, the hugest pants you can imagine. Probably 14. You know, it was shortly after I started making music. I would say probably within a year, year and a half, is when the Lord initially saved me. So my identity became like deeply forged into hip hop. I was rocking like camouflage, and I'm seeing things from photographs in albums and, you know, magazines from New York, and I'm kind of mimicking that dress style without really living in a context of that dress style. And so it was just ridiculous, you know, huge pants, Timberland boots, double XL hoodies, you know,
oh, there we go.
150-pound dude, you know, so I just stuck out like a sore thumb. But I went to this spot that I used to play basketball at. It's kind of like a, it's called the Lentz Boys and Girls Club, but kind of like a YMCA. And with my parents being divorced, when I would get new shoes, would always be at tax time. When my dad got his tax refund, that's when I'd get new shoes. And so that year, instead of getting, you know, a pair of Jordans or a pair of Larry Johnsons or something like that, I got a pair of Timberland boots. And so I show up at this place where I used to go to play basketball. But now that I'm rocking these Tims and my clothes are so big, I can't really play basketball. So I'm just kind of like walking around. I don't really know what to do with myself, you know. But I would always carry folded up wraps in my pocket in case I ever met somebody that shared the same passion as I had for hip hop. And, you know, there were a few like local artists in Portland, and I would just imagine in my head, if I ever ran into them, I want to have my stuff ready because then maybe they can help me record or something like that, right? So I've got these lyrics folded up, and I run into this guy, and he noticed I was wearing the brand Echo at the time. And again, mainly people on the coast with them rocking that brand. And so he starts talking with me about hip hop. He was a bit older than me, but then he starts talking with me about the Lord, and, you know, asked me if my family had been to church and stuff. I'm like, no, but really, I kind of walked away from that conversation with an answer to a question that I had in the past. Like, I remember an interaction with my stepdad where we were throwing a football back and forth, and the question I asked him was something to the effect of, "If God made everything, who made God?" Right. And so I throw the football to him. He catches the football. He says, "I don't know," and then throws it back to me, you know. And so that's the kind of spiritual guidance that I really had access to. All of a sudden, I'm meeting somebody who shares interest with me in hip hop, and they're telling me there is a God, you know, but not just that there's a God, but that I'm accountable to him, but that he sent his son Jesus, you know, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And by God's grace, I did not have a deep understanding of the gospel, of the Bible, but there became a genuine belief in me. Yeah, the God he's talking about is the true God, and I need to be saved, and Jesus is the one who can do it. And so I had a very underdeveloped theology and a very underdeveloped understanding, but enough of an understanding to kind of be like the thief on the cross saying, "Hey, it's that man," you know. And so that started giving expression. I, you know, tried to stop cussing in my raps and stuff, but because I had little to no discipleship, I didn't really know how to interact with others as a believer. So that created like a period of almost like deep isolation, because I also was not connected to a church. So I kind of have this newfound faith, but I don't know it from, you know, I still don't understand it really. I have a sense of right and wrong, but I don't have any depth, and I don't have any discipleship happening. So I just leaned into music, and that was kind of like my outlet for communicating how I was processing, what I was experiencing, so on and so forth. And so I kind of leaned into that, and that really began that. And I would say really by like age 15, I was actively creating music as a Christian, you know, just as a baby Christian.
It's crazy, brother, how how the Lord uses people for his glory to save us, which we are not, you know, we don't deserve his saving grace or anything, but he chooses to save us and use people as his means to preach the gospel to us and praise God for them. And that's definitely encouraging. Brother, how did you get in your rap name, Rel? Like how did that happen?
Shortly after I became a Christian, which was after my freshman year of high school. Then after my sophomore year of high school, my family moved to New Jersey. And so I kind of had this huge major transition where I went from actually living on the West Coast to living on the East Coast. My mom got the bank she was working for was closing down, and she got a job offer and she took it. And so we moved across the country. And I was into progressively, I went from, you know, because if you go out of the early 90s to the mid 90s, that's when mainstream kind of hip hop was going through a major change. And so as to where in the early 90s, a lot of the prominent artists would have been, you know, Boogie Down Productions, Tribe Called Quest, Mobb Deep, De La Soul, so on and so forth. Kind of the landscape of hip hop was progressively changing, and a lot of people were starting to look more to underground as the means of finding music. And just my kind of collector like mentality, that's when I started getting into much more obscure, you know, underground cassette tape demo releases and things like that. And so as I'm doing that, those artists tended to use a lot of them were just coming out of college or were in college. And so they had an expansive vocabulary. And I think that was influencing me. So I was like, you know, change my rap name. Cause my first rap name actually was Reflection. And then shortly after, the group Reflection Eternal came out. And so I was like, I don't really want to rock as Reflection when there's a group out called Reflection Eternal. And so I changed my name, and I was doing these abstract names like Perplex the Cerebration Bazaar. And then I was like Braille the Suction Cup Ohm, and Perplex for the Mind, Braille for the Soul, but eventually landed on Braille probably by age 16. And the whole thought there was related to that idea that when you see a person, the deepest things about them are probably not what you just see on the surface, right? Like they have a story that you're not going to understand unless they actually communicate it to you. So I could see a person, I could make a judgment or perception about them based on what I see, but communication is how I'm actually going to get to know more about them. And so that kind of idea with hip hop of like communicating the unseen, kind of communicating emotions, communicating experiences. Like if I went through something and you weren't there, the only way you can know what I went through is if I tell you about it, because you're never going to actually see it with your own eyes because it's already happened, right? And then that ultimately develops to like spiritual truth, right? A God who we can't see with our eyes. But a God who's made himself known and who's communicated to us. And so those are the kind of ideas that I was wrestling with, of this idea of text for the blind or communicating things which are unseen. And so that's kind of what brought me to going as Braille. But when I moved to New Jersey, I mean, I didn't have a driver's license. I'm newly saved. My family doesn't go to church. I'm not in a church. I don't even understand really what a church is, what is the role of the church in a Christian's life. So throughout the rest of high school, I wasn't in a church. So I still had no discipleship, but I started working on what came out in 1999, my first record, Life First Half the Battle, which is still out there, you know, but definitely 16, 17 year old kid kind of like processing his faith and his life experiences, you know, super low budget and just a whole different era. But yeah, so I guess you could say I was aspiring at that point in my life to use my talent to serve the Lord based on whatever I thought that meant. But more so like the progression of like the difference between serving the Lord and serving myself, that distinction, you know, it's something that has just progressively grown in my understanding over time from following the Lord, you know? So I think many times my idea of serving the Lord, really like the motivation, was often more self-serving, probably even than I realized at the time. But that my understanding of that just grew and changed.
We could go back to our old material, you know, for all creatives that understand, you go back to your old material and you can see you progressively matured in your creativity, you know, as you move on in life, and also walking with the Lord, learning the word, being part of a good local sound biblical church, you know, being around brothers and sisters. And so you can see progressively how that each stage of your walk just progressively matures and more, and it also shows up you in your work creatively. And praise God for that, brother. Praise God for that.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. It certainly shows that it's his work.
Amen. Brother, right here, we're going to take a short promo break and we'll be right back.
All other kings are finite beings confined by worldly things, self-serving men who make decrees, mortal beings with borrowed breath, those who through the curse swallow sin and taste death. But there is a heavenly king who sinlessly sits enthroned sovereignly above the time and space of all other earthly kings. A glorious king whose cosmic crown is covered in constant constellations, who receives the greatest praise while angels gaze in awe and adoration. This King of Kings is the kind of king who is kind to mankind, who leaves behind this divine throne to pursue his own, who splits his flesh across a bloody cross to cover the infinite cost of the sin that once accosted us. This resurrection king, this returning king, comes to bring a kingdom unlocked to the most lost of us. This consummate king, we receive and believe through the emblems of the infinite king.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in to the Reformed Scratches podcast, episode number 24. Listening to Brian Winchester, a.k.a. Braille. He's a pastor and CHH artist on Reformed Scratches podcast. Brother, so when you met Othello and you guys formed the group Lightheaded, how was that experience with during that time and also creating hip hop as music? How did that go through?
Yeah, so and really quick, just to I hadn't mentioned.
For sure.
With Syntax, I forgot. So yeah,
for sure.
They were expecting a solo record from me. We created Acts 29 instead, turned it in, and they were gracious enough to release that instead of a solo record. Because kind of following, though, I was supposed to work on a solo record for them around 2000-2001. I didn't end up making another solo record till 2004, and so I kind of went through this season of various collaborative projects. But yeah, as we met Othello, eventually we had an opportunity to start touring. We released our first record, Lightheaded Pure Thoughts. We released it through a label called Day by Day Entertainment, which was ran by a guy who was connected to MF Grimm. So I think if I remember the story right, MF Grimm was in jail at the time, and another brother was running the record label for him. And that it wasn't a Christian music label, but as we were kind of leaning into our boom bap roots and stuff like that, we kind of found like, okay, Nashville has a scene of what kind of Christian music sounds like, but it's not really what we sound like. And then you have just like the regular, I guess you could call it, secular music market. And we felt like we don't really fit in either necessarily. And so we just want to make music, and whoever's willing to rock with it, then that's great. And we'll put it out. And so Pure Thoughts came out. And then I started realizing there were a lot of artists who were in the same boat as us. They didn't really fit with what the labels in Nashville, the sound that those labels were looking for. So you had kind of Goatee Records, you had some of these other labels, which worked with great artists, but it had its own kind of sound, you know. And you know, us being on the West Coast at this time, and but different people who were influenced by boom bap, there were just not a whole lot of labels we were aware of. And so that kind of led to me taking notice of some of these artists that I knew had been around, maybe been in groups before, and thinking, man, what if I could take some of the things I've learned and help these artists put out some records, you know? And so that kind of gave birth to Hip Hop as Music, as trying to kind of create a middle ground of something where an artist could be authentic to their faith and also authentic to their artistry or art form. And just granted, this is a different era, you know? So as easy as it is for people to just put out records on their own, throw them up on a streaming platform nowadays, it wasn't as easy back then, you know? It wasn't as easy to just make an album on your own. If there was no resources brought to the table, that was really challenging. Mm. And so I started becoming, taking note of various people. And as we would travel, there was Sojourn from the group Future Shock. There was Sivion, from Deep Space Five. There was Theory Hazard. There's these various people. And I'm like, man, like, they could make some really good boom bap albums. And if there's something I could do to help make that happen, that would be really cool. And so I think what I kind of learned through the process, and I think why I kept on jumping to these collaborative projects, is I just enjoyed being a part of music being created. That's really what it boiled down to. It's not that I was like a businessman by any stretch of the imagination. I was a bummy kid who didn't even graduate high school, but I just loved seeing music being created. And I had ideas of kind of a gap that I saw, and it was like, man, if I could help, you know, fill that gap a little bit, that would be really cool. And if I could help these artists, and I think part of my desire to help artists even was, though there were many people, maybe more than I even realized, that helped me along the way, there was very, very few times where I felt like somebody came alongside me start to finish, like kind of, hey, I see what you can do and I want to help you accomplish it, you know? And so I think some of what I desired for myself at some point, it was like, well, man, let me just do that for others, you know, and like be somebody who believes in their artistry, believes in their record, and actually tries to help them accomplish it, you know, not just as a producer or something, but really like I would try and collect beats for the artists. I'd be hitting people up. Hey, this guy's working on an album. Do you have any beats? And I would send them, you know, 50 beats to be like, which ones are grabbing you? Oh, I see. You really like that. So then I would try and search for producers that had more of that style. And just the process of helping somebody put together an album, I just loved it. And so really, that's what gave birth to Hip Hop as Music during that time.
Praise God, brother. That's something that I think as a creative, no matter what kind of creative talents you have, that's something that is very encouraging, because if you come along with another side of another brother or a sister or a group of sisters and brothers at your local church or even, you know, other brothers that attend other churches, and you have an inspiration to, you know, do something creatively, and you're on the same. You're in the same page as that encouragement, man, goes such a long way. It helps out so much. And I think even when it comes to discipleship, praise God for that, man. Cause yeah, sometimes like as creatives, sometimes we like to do things our own way. We need to also remember that, you know, we're believers in Christ. And so that community, that fellowship, and that bearing one another's burdens come into play. And then praise God for that, but that's really, really encouraging right there. Really encouraging.
I just add to that note, because I want to be reflect on the history accurately. Just like,
for sure,
bearing in mind that I'm like 24 or 25 probably.
Oh man,
when I'm launching this record label. So, as much as later on in life there were like aspirations of it being discipleship and stuff, and I definitely think there was some elements of discipleship involved, it's like you can only bring to the table what you can bring to the table based on where you're at in the Lord at that present time.
True.
Right?
True. So, you're right. True.
I had a zeal. I had a zeal that I think was very genuine. But sometimes it was a zeal without knowledge, meaning that, it was only as developed as I was developed, put it that way. And so really, like, the passion was for hip hop music, and yet there were convictions that kind of created some guardrails for how that gave expression, if that makes sense.
True.
While
makes sense. Yeah.
I'm still being developed, in the Lord.
And that right there, y'all, is part one of two with Brian Winchester, a.k.a. Brell, CHH artist and pastor, episode number 24. You don't want to miss part two coming out, so stay tuned, y'all. Grace and peace.